are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Come on, give somebody a high five and tell them you look better than ever. From glory to glory, you are looking better than ever. Amen. Amen. How many in this place tonight under the age of 25? Lift your hand and say hallelujah. How many teenagers? I know it's exam. How many teenagers in the house tonight? How many of you are in a relationship? I asked this last week in Pretoria. How many of you are dating a girl? Well, you better be sitting on your hands, because dating is a no, no, no. No, no, dating. You can go on a date, but you can't be dating. We're in the world, we're not of the world. So tonight, I've asked three couples again to come, and we're going to talk a little bit, then I'm going to share the word. And then my beautiful wife is going to come, and she's going to talk about different kinds of love, because we know that as young people, you want to please God. We know you want to do things right. We know you want to be different. Amen. Untainted, unspotted by this world. Say a good amen. For 20 years, I've had the privilege to have him and his beautiful wife as pastors in this church. And they are one of the couples that I'm inviting to the platform. Give them a big welcome. Then also Ponzo and Esmeralda. She's one of our student pastors. Come to the platform as well. And on Yvonne and Yvette, some of our teenage pastors, come to the platform quickly. Come on. And look in love. Look in love. Love is in the air. Love is in the air. Love is in the air. That's all I can sing. So, what attracted you to one another? What attracted you to her?
Pastor,
Tell them.
Oh, for them. Okay. Well, the amazing thing is we started dating when we were studying. And the one thing that really attracted me to Miranda was definitely her looks. And she's got beautiful, beautiful hands. So, that was the one thing that really attracted me. And then also the way that she worked with people. I knew at that stage that I was called for the ministry, and I knew I had to get a wife that would be able to work with people and that would get along with people. And the way how she connected with my friends and the people that we were working at that stage was just absolutely amazing.
What attracted you to him? Not that he didn't want to lay hands, but...
Okay, obviously his looks attracted me a lot, and then I loved his personality. I just loved his patience, and the love and the grace that he showed to people attracted me a lot. And then I wanted a husband that served the Lord, so that was my first thing, and I'm glad he served the Lord.
Amen. So tell us, who asked who?
What happened, Pastor? I asked Miranda, but I can remember when we... when we got engaged, that was in September, and I went to her parents, and it was a very daunting moment when I had to speak to her dad and ask her dad if we could get married. And I just thought to myself, I'm not going to go through this hell by myself. So I made an appointment with my parents for the next weekend, and we went to visit with my parents. And as we were just sitting in the dining room, I said to my mother and father, I said, Dad, Miranda's got something to ask you. So, I made her ask my parents to get married to me as well.
Okay. You know, there's the rule and then the exception. That's the exception. We won't preach the exception. Okay. Tell us, you two, what attracted you to one another?
Okay, Pastor, we met at the varsity as well. But the one thing that attracted me to my husband was the fact that he was a gentleman. He was caring. The first time when we met, he was not like all the other gentlemen at the varsity. When you're a first year, you are fresh blood. Every guy wants to get their hands on you. But he was different. He was actually doing his third year. But when he saw me, he didn't see meat. He saw a lady.
So listen. That's important, because men are prayers or prayers. P-R-A-Y, or P-R-E-Y. They pray or they pray. Is that all?
Yes, Pastor. He was very much, he was a gentleman. He didn't come out and say, I want to date you or I want to, we were friends at first. We were both in the church and we're doing sports as well. We're both playing soccer. So we could have a conversation without him bringing up the boyfriend-girlfriend issues. And the other thing that I loved about him is that he never took advantage of me, because I told him when we first met that I'd never dated before him. He was the first guy that I dated.
So to all the young people out there, it is possible to go through school, go through university, be in a beautiful, attractive young woman and not jump into relationships.
Yes, Pastor, it is.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Well, I saw it with my daughters. I see it. It's possible.
Yes.
And then the rewards are so much more.
Amen.
Okay, bro.
Amen.
What did you see that attracted you?
All right. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. The first thing that attracted me to my wife, she's got a beautiful personality. She's got a beautiful personality, and as a result, we built a great friendship from that. But the thing that really got me hooked, because she dresses very modestly, but the first time I saw her legs, that got me hooked.
I saw my wife's personality as well. I saw her legs. Right, okay. And I thought, I can do with those legs. Okay, and you too.
Pastor, obviously, first starting with a physical attraction as well. I remember I was walking down that aisle in church and my friend was walking next to me and Evan came in at the back there and I was like, who's that? I asked my friend, who's that? And that was actually way before we met, and I noticed him, but then only a few years later we actually met. So there obviously was a physical attraction, but when we got to know one another, something that really stood out for me was just his drive, and he knew where he's going in life. I could easily see myself buying into that, because I could see he's got purpose, he's got passion, and he's got drive. And that really drew me, and also just his heart for God's kingdom. Because with that passion and with that drive, it wasn't just for self-gain. It was really, his heart is absolutely to build God's kingdom. And that drew me to him, attracted me.
What attracted you to her?
Pastor, yes, first of all, what a privilege to be part of this church. Because it's in this church and because of this church, I had the opportunity to meet this gorgeous woman. In fact, I never actually knew what I was looking for in my wife one day, because I was looking out there in the world and it was a really dark place. And for those of you who don't know, you can't find anything when it's dark. And luckily, thank God for guys like Robbie Brazel sitting in Pretoria who invited me to this church. I had an opportunity to mingle with people in home cells and groups and social groups. And that's actually where we started getting to know each other better. And while we spent that time together, what I started, what I saw from the beginning, obviously those sparkling eyes, but she has this passion on the inside of her for people, and whether young or old, and she's got this drive on the inside of her that I immediately connected to. It was something I just knew. I never saw this in any woman before, and the whole spirit that she had was, it almost felt like it just fit into exactly what I wanted to have, and I never knew I wanted that specific thing, and I found it obviously in this awesome
place. So she completed what you didn't even know needed to be completed. That's exactly right. That's what the right person does. Because if we look out of need, we look in the wrong way. But if we don't even know what we need, like Adam, God brings that person, and suddenly your eyes open, you think, wow, this person completes me. Not this person depletes me. This person completes me, makes me come alive, stirs something in my emotion, in my heart, more than any person else.
Yeah, Pastor, so we dated in a group, and we did a lot of fun stuff together. And something that was very important for me to see is how he interacts with other people as well. And I remember one evening after church, you spoke to a few people here in front, and you said something to me that stuck by me. And you said that whenever you start being interested in a guy, that you must take him either to your dad or to your spiritual leader, because a man can very quickly discern whether another guy is for real or whether he's, or because a girl can be emotionally clouded because she's in love. And then I made sure that I spoke to Pastor Leon about Yvonne, and I asked him, and I took him to my dad and my family, you know, and we really spent a lot of time with my family and our families, and I could see my parents adore Yvonne from the start, and that was a very good sign for me, and just how he interacted with different people. So it was always in a safe environment, always in a you know, good safe. We were protected, and I want to go into the kissing, because Yvonne did try to kiss me one evening, and then I jumped in my car and I drove away.
Hey, in defense of Yvonne, that's normal, okay. If a guy doesn't want to kiss you, there's a problem there as well, okay. You just need to put the, you know, and if that hand, every now and again you don't have to slap his hand, there's a problem there as well, okay. When that hand goes like, my sister, Nyeong, lost snow. But we'll talk about that. It's very important what you say today. Listen, courtship, very, very important. Young people just go off and they date anybody or court anybody and they ask nobody's permission. Here's the reality. When you marry somebody, you can think for this reason a man leaves his father and his mother and the two will become one. You become part of the greater family. You become the son of that family. She becomes the daughter of this family. Okay, we're not talking about interfering parents, but you want the parents' blessing and you want your spiritual oversight's blessing. You don't just want to say, well, I fell in love with this guy and we're just going to run off. For how long? 1 year. Then you run back to daddy and daddy has to pick up the mess. So look for the blessing. I taught my children, even my son, he's 24 years old. Get your parents' blessing. It's right. It's biblical. And if you don't have a parent, get your spiritual oversight's blessing. We're not there to control you. Leadership is there to protect you, to look for things that you cannot see. Because the girl sits there and the guy says all the right words and we know he's a prayer. He's not a prayer. He's not in church. He's not in home cell. He's after the Christian girl because the Christian girl is the gullible one. She's the easy target. She doesn't see what the man's plan is. But us who are mature, the Olius, we know that man when he comes. We can see when he comes with his sweet words. Can I take your daughter out? We're just going to the movie. No, you can watch TV with me and sit next to me. And we'll watch the movie together. And if we go to the movie, I'll sit between the two of you. I'll sit behind you. And God help you if your hand just crosses that invisible boundary. You will leave that movie house. Blinded by love. No, because of love.
Thank you. I cannot agree with you more, Pastor Art, because some people isolate themselves and then you cannot meet someone. So it's true. And then another thing for me is people tend to compromise. You will find a girl that's serving in the church, that's active, that goes to home cell, and then she meets a boy that does not serve the Lord, and then she compromises on that. Or the same with boys that will leave their activity and their faithfulness for a girl that's not really serving the Lord. So compromising on your real values and what is important to you is a mistake for me that people make.
The thing is, Bossard, I also believe that one of the biggest challenges is, I think that many, specifically young people, have this idea that a relationship will solve personal challenges or personal issues. And it's the same with a marriage. A marriage cannot do anything. A marriage and a relationship will only amplify what's already there. So if you don't spend time developing yourself, getting yourself in the right place where you have peace with yourself, you know what you do, what you're all about, That's only a relationship can only amplify what's already there. So a relationship will not fix stuff. It can only shout louder what is already existing there.
That's very good. You know, if you grew up in a everybody grew up in a proper home, or you grew up without baggage, and you date somebody with baggage, that baggage comes into your life. So when you date and when you're caught, you don't realize there's all this baggage until you get married. And suddenly you've got this whole mess in your relationship because two become one. If you've kept yourself pure and you date somebody that slept around. Now we're talking about not somebody that came to Christ and had a divine encounter with Christ. Because we understand if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So that could have been a loose girl, that could have been a player. He comes to Jesus, the Bible says he's a brand new person. God makes all things new. It's like he has no past, like the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer, but then he says, I wrong no man. But if you're a Christian and you had the born-again experience and you still choose to be a player, that's a problem. Because every time you play, you lose your soul. Every person you sleep with, all the baggages of that person, whoever that person slept with, all the emotional baggage, that's why sex is such a holy thing in the sight of God. It's a gift that God gave between a man and a woman. The Bible says the marriage bed is honorable among all. It's honorable. So Pastor Leon said good sex, we'll talk about that in a marriage context. In a marriage context, it replenishes the soul. It builds relationship. It edifies the spirit in the marriage relationship. Outside of the marriage relationship, what God meant to be a blessing becomes destructive. And you watch people, they're there but they're not there. They have an empty soul, or they have soul ties with every person they slept with. Because remember, the Bible says when you sleep with a woman, you become one with that woman. So the act of love to become one talks about sexual union. So when you sleep with a girl, that is the consummation of the marriage. When the two become one, that is when the marriage is consummated. So when you sleep with somebody outside of marriage, you become one with that person. Spirit, soul, and body. You sleep with somebody else, spirit, soul, and body. You sleep with somebody else, you become spirit, soul, and body. It's not just 5 minutes or 10 minutes or however long where you gratify your flesh. It's much deeper. And it affects you for a lifetime unless there's a sovereign intervention by Jesus Christ himself. So you see young people messed up because they sleep around. They're in church, but they sleep around. They can't praise God. They can't get on with God. They're depressed. They're not happy because they're messing around physically. Because the world has portrayed sex as a physical act. As a matter of fact, sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife is a spiritual act that God gave the man and the woman, where two become one. It's the closest union you can have with anybody. That's why God forbids it outside of the context of marriage. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So courtship has nothing to do with sexual intimacy. Hollywood has made it, if you caught the girl correctly, you're going to score in that evening. Or people, when you switch on television, or it's like people are still talking, next minute they're in bed. It's like just people, they have no connection. They just jump in the bed, and tomorrow, then the next day, they just jump in the bed with somebody else, etc. Family, we are not animals. We are created in the image of God. We are instructed by God to possess our vessel in honor, to possess ourselves, to keep ourselves unspotted. We are commanded by God. So if you are 13 years old and you start dating, and at 14 years old, the guy starts kissing you, where do you think you're going to end when you're 16 years old? It's not going to stop by kissing, because you are breaking boundaries and you are not ready to have those passions awakened. The Bible is very clear in the book of Song of Solomon. It says, daughters of Zion, do not awaken the passions before the time. So God created you with certain desires, with certain passions. God made you a certain way. Biologically, you were created a certain way. Certain things will trigger certain passions and certain desires in you. That's why God talks about abstinence at a certain age. Because remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. So you cannot trust your flesh. You're a fool if you think you can trust your flesh. Joseph ran when he got himself in a difficult situation. So you 14 years old, 15 years old. No, pastor, we're just going to pray together. Listen, never pray alone with a brother if you are a sister. Because you'll be praying and he'll be watching. He'll be scheming. Every time you open your eyes and you say, what are you looking at? No, I just saw if you were finished praying, etc. You don't watch and pray. You don't pray alone together. Amen. You say, pastor, it sounds like a lot of rules and regulations. We're not putting law upon you. We're trying to help you. Because the world is perverse. Many parents have no clue when it comes to raising their children in the right way. No criticism on parents. I mean, when I was 13 years old, my mother let me go on a date with a girl. 16 years old, took her to the movies in a car. Didn't even have a license. It's like parents thought, okay, let's just be nice to our children. No, you are responsible toward that child. As a matter of fact, and I know the parents are not here, we are instructed by God to protect our children's virginity, both male and female. We are instructed as a parent to protect their virginity. No matter how high they jump up and down, you protect them. So I raised my children that way. Say to them, you get my blessing. Otherwise, there's war between the two of us. Because I know what it takes to have a great marriage. You're not going to marry somebody and I know it's the wrong person. I don't care how much visions you've had. I raised you. I know the kind of person that will make you happy. Yeah, well, you say, how can you say that? Because I'm a parent that's been involved with my children. I'm not a parent that tries to get rid of my children as quickly as possible. They can live with me till they're 40. Classical mistake students make when they come. You spoke about a first year coming and you basically, men try to exploit you. Talk to these young girls, these young guys. What is happening at university? The standards, what are the dangers, the pitfalls?
Okay, pastor, like I already mentioned, when you come as a first year, The guys that have been around, they see you as fresh blood. They want to date you, and they have their sturdy girlfriends that they've had for a long time. They just want to use you and sleep around with you. And the other thing that I've also seen as well with the students, many of the students come from a fatherless generation. And because of that, when a guy comes and they want to just go on a date, they're already thinking marriage. They're already thinking this guy's going to take care of me because of the homes that they come from, because of the financial backgrounds that they come from. So they're thinking this guy must just take care of me. And if things don't work out, their worlds get shattered, they get broken, and that's the number one killer amongst the students' relationships. And the other thing is sexual purity as well. The guys come and they tell the girl that I'll take care of you if you just sleep with me. And an innocent girl compromises, because this guy promised that I'll take care of you, I'll pay your tuition fee, I'll open an account for you just so that you look good every time. And after that, the guy leaves the girl, and for the rest of the time that she's here, until she meets Christ, her world is falling apart. And even after they meet Christ, they still struggle with the guilt that, you know, I came here to study. And some of them come here because they don't have parents that are taking care of them. They get a bursary, and the bursary stops paying. They say, okay, if you fail, we're not going to pay for you. And that guilt takes away from them. It takes their self-confidence away. It takes the joy away. And that is a major, major thing that I've seen amongst the students. Sexual exploitation and the whole thing of first years, when they get here thinking they have the whole world to themselves. And people normally tend to think, I'm a first year, I'm free. I'm free from my parents. I'm free to do what I want. But they don't realize that the world is not as friendly as they deem it to be. Amen.
I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving at this time. They're in Pretoria, in Cape Town, in Durban, in all our churches across this country. You're sitting there tonight, and maybe you've messed up. Who hasn't? But for the grace of God, there go I. There is no judgment Even if you're a church girl and you messed up, a church guy and you messed up, it's a new day. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Today, God can give you a new beginning if you will open your heart and allow the grace of God to touch you. If you will be honest and give yourself to Jesus. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. There is one who justifies, His name is Jesus Christ. Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That if you confess your sin, He is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to remove your sin as far as from the east is from the west. But one thing God does ask is honesty, that you will come with an open heart and you will give yourself back to your Maker and allow God to love you and allow God to heal you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. They're in Pretoria, Johannesburg, East Rand. Down there in George, in Cape Town, Stellenbosch, Hermanus, Paarl, Durban, Ballito, Welkom, Windhoek. Wherever you are tonight listening to my voice, is God talking to you? Is this your moment to make your peace with God? Then I want to pray for you. I want you to close your eyes, focus on Him, focus on His love, and pray this prayer right now. As we pray with you, everybody pray with us all over our churches. Everybody pray this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for all my sin at the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight I open my heart and I ask you to save me. Forgive my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. Wash me in your blood. Thank you for loving me and for accepting me as your child tonight. Thank you that you set me free from my past tonight. I receive a new beginning. I receive total forgiveness. I receive your grace to live for you as a child of God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.